Hearings on Capitol Hill, arrests in Pakistan, who knows how many prisoners held in Guantanamo, and public opinion polls this week showing strong support for attacking Iraq if that's what the president decides is necessary. Still, many Americans don't fully grasp that we are already at war.
We are at war with an enemy that abuses individual rights as it abuses jetliners. It abuses those rights to make weapons of them with which to kill Americans.
That's Attorney General John Ashcroft, and he is not alone. President Bush, after the terrorist attack of September 11th, proclaimed, "We are at war against terrorism."
We're at war. There's been an act of war declared upon America by terrorists, and we will respond accordingly.
The Vice President, the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of State, even the First Lady say the same. We are at war. But large numbers of Americans don't seem to agree. A Fox News survey earlier this year found that less than 60% of Americans would describe the country as at war. It is murky, says the director of the Pew Center for Research, Andy Kohut. The war on terrorism isn't like a hot war, as in the Persian Gulf, or the Cold War. Rather than a state of war, he says, many people feel a state of alarm.
The public consistently says we're worried. 70% as recently as June said we're worried about another attack. 60% nearly saying that in the next 12 months the Americans expecting suicide bombings in public places. We're sitting here waiting for the next shoe to drop, the other shoe to drop.
In Los Angeles, historian Joyce Appleby says that the meaning of the word war has changed repeatedly over centuries. Right now, the current war on terrorism simply doesn't look like what we expect war to be.
I read in the paper that we're at war, and I'm sort of startled. I think, oh, my goodness, we're at war.
Dr. Appleby lived through World War II, when it meant huge dislocations and sacrifice.
Your shoes were rationed, your gasoline was rationed, your sugar was rationed, foods like bananas went off the table, and even more importantly, your male relatives were in the service.
And this was a near universal experience for Americans.
I think so. The war was on the news all the time. At that time, we had newscasts and movies. You got vivid images of the war.
Here comes more German planes back again. The fire keeps changing. The Nazi plane as it goes down over the convoy.
The images were so vivid and powerful that they've heavily influenced even those of us who weren't alive then. We're marked by the vicarious experiences of World War II. That's what war is supposed to look like and feel like. But, says retired Army General Wesley Clark, the former commander of Allied forces in Kosovo, the war against terrorism is actually more like a struggle against terrorism.
It just doesn't look like the kind of war that Americans are used to. And in some respects, if you call it a war, it's misleading.
A war, he says, is fought against military foes. That's different from what we're doing now. Terrorists don't behave like soldiers.
Our strength lies in our military. We attack military targets. We go after armed forces. We operate in accordance with the rules of warfare established in the 19th and 20th centuries. They attack soft and easy targets. They don't discriminate between military and civilian, and they don't use military means.
Another thing, war is not just a military matter or word. It is also political. It changes the tone of conversation, a national dialogue. That's why there's a war on poverty and a war on cancer. War is serious. Even if conscription is out of style now, political leaders use the word war to enlist support. General Clark.
When the term war is used, there's a conception, maybe a preconception, that people who question and raise issues are somehow unpatriotic. And I think that's the opposite of the case.
That's one way to differentiate the war we're in now, compromises in our normal freedoms. Poll taker Andy Kohut says that after September 11th, people were ready to cede some civil liberties if that would help make them feel more secure. Some recent surveys find people more anxious about those compromises. Maybe that's a sign that people are uncertain about our war status. Or maybe the rules of war are changing again so that civil liberties will persist even in times of conflict. General Clark, for one, sees the need for that condition now.
When the term war is bandied about, if it's used to mean that it's a prolonged struggle, fine. If it's used to mean we all have to get together, we can't pay attention to the ordinary processes of government because we're in a war, this is not that kind of war. It's the opposite. And it's a kind of war that demands we pay more attention to our rights as citizens.
The Constitution says Congress must vote the country into war. It hasn't yet taken that formality on terrorism, though it has repeatedly voted to support the administration in its actions. There are steps that political leaders could take to make war more apparent, says historian Joyce Appleby, but mostly they involve things that politicians are reluctant to do.
I suppose a tax that said that we were going to have to pay money to fight this war, we'd kind of, you know, tighten our belt, something of that sort. These are at least the traditional signs of warfare, and it's a little unnerving to think that the country is enjoying a tax cut. There are no call-up of anyone. There's no shortage of anything. Their professional soldiers are sent far away, and we hear episodically about what's going on. I would think that for the nation to feel that they were in a war, there would have to be something that interrupted their daily life.
Of course, many daily lives were affected by September 11th, but in large parts of the country, people's daily lives go on without much sacrifice at all. Still, there is this measure of war. When asked for the number of combatants in the war against terrorism, the Pentagon responded by saying that you'd really have to count all 1.4 million people on active duty. They're all at war, a spokesperson said. And there are 7,000 or 8,000 Americans on the ground in Afghanistan. Our thanks to historian Joyce Appleby of UCLA and retired Army General Wesley Clark and the director of the Pew Research Center, Andy Kohut, for their thoughts on the question of, are we at war?